This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour two of the nation. Welcome in here on a Football Friday, the last Football Friday of the Cowboys season. We're going to be talking with Stephen Jones coming up in 90. I don't know if you heard Jerry Jones on today. He had a lot of interesting things to say. He kind of threw Trayvon Diggs in a free agent body bag. We'll get to that. But he also said, you know, these can't be small, subtle moves that we're making to try to get back in the playoffs. The fact that they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row is in Jerry's craw. He's looking forward to remaking the defense. As we look forward to free agency and the draft. We'll get Steve's thoughts on that coming up here at 4:30 on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. But, man, we got to recap and relive some of this college football glory we got to witness over the last couple of days, Chief.
Yes, sir. Crack him if you got him. Let's crank open the darty.
Looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, f***ing joke.
Say our name again!
Well, I don't get the right man, Cole.
All right, we got to start with what happened at the Armed Forces Bowl today. This is pretty freaking hilarious, dude. Armed Forces Bowl, you have the parachuters flying in.
Do you think they were bringing the game ball in?
Gosh, I hope at least two of the five weren't.
The ball there made it in, huh?
Only three.
Gonna need some backups.
Only three of the five paratroopers made it safely onto the field, okay? One of them completely missed the stadium entirely, okay? So there's supposed to be five that are all in sort of synchronized coming onto the field, and one of them didn't even make it into the stadium. Okay, so that's the first thing.
So at that Eamon Carter Stadium, like, there's not a lot of area to land. Like, I worked.
Well, have a 100-yard football field.
I know, but if he's landing outside the stadium.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, there's not a lot of space for him. Now, okay, I take that back. There's a grass practice field on the other side of the stadium, on the other side of the football complex. So he could have gone onto that grass practice field. But and that's a good 100 yards, maybe 50 yards.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a video of the guy missing the stadium. So, like, I don't know exactly.
I saw the guy get caught in the net, and then he came down out of the net. He got caught up and then fell into the crowd.
This is why I want nothing to do with parachuting. I mean, these guys are all, like, veteran military parachuters.
Right.
You know, it's what they did.
Yes.
They couldn't even hit a 100-by-50 football field.
These are supposed to be
your
best of the best kind of guys.
Are we cutting spending back that much that we can't?
I mean, I think there's just an element of the unknown.
Throwing some jobbers out there.
Why don't you throw yourself out of a perfectly good airplane?
Yeah, the video, and thank God he's reportedly okay, but the funniest video is the guy who's coming into the stadium, and he's coming through, like, the end zone area, and so he accidentally runs into the netting behind the field goal posts. So that's where he gets caught at, dead in his tracks, and then he just kind of free falls down.
It looked
like
the crowd.
When you watch the video, you're like, oh no, I don't know if that guy is safe, but the reports are like he's apparently fine. I'm guessing the guy who missed the stadium entirely is okay. So three of the five touchdowns safely. Kudos to those
guys. This is what's going on. College football season. We're filming a commercial for Mayhem. This is Mayhem.
Oh, okay.
This is like I'm bringing in the game ball. and then all of a sudden he gets caught in the net and ends up in the crowd.
This is brilliant marketing on your part. I'm guessing that's
because
not what happened here.
He went into the Allstate net, right? Doesn't Allstate sponsor the net?
It doesn't look like Allstate to me, but okay. If you are an Allstate commercial writer guy, just copy and paste this.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of like sporting event Allstate ones.
Yeah.
You know, where they're driving through the parking lot, just running through different cars and stuff. They're great commercials.
Yeah. I mean,
those have been awesome Mayhem for a long time. Mayhem's
awesome.
A legend.
He is awesome. But
this should be the next commercial they do.
Yeah. Like they show him, like, I'm jumping out of a plane. I got the game ball. You think I'm going to make it? Probably not. I'm Mayhem. You have cheap car insurance. You're not going to make it either.
Yeah. That's perfect, dude.
I like the one where the guy's watching on TV and Mayhem starts making out with his wife.
Mayhem is a freaking legend.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had the quarterfinal, and it started at the Cotton Bowl on Wednesday night, ringing in the New Year's beautifully. If you were pulling for the Canes, had a fantastic time.
Going to Glendale?
Not going to Glendale.
If we can get tickets, you go to Glendale?
The championship, the Natty's in Miami.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe I could shack up with my uncle out there and try and make a play. But, no, I'm probably one and done here.
Tell you what, man, the field at the old Joe Robbie. I call it Joe Robbie. I know. What's it called? What's the stadium now there?
It's just Hard Rock.
Hard Rock Stadium. I call it Joe Robbie still.
I call it the Hard.
That grass didn't look good yesterday.
Didn't look what?
That field looked, the field looked a little chopped up.
Yeah, for the tag game.
Yeah, it looked a little chopped up. And normally they have a beautiful, pristine field. It was kind of chopped up.
Yeah, that's true. They need to get it right for
they will.
For the Natty.
They will. They'll get it. They'll get that thing squared.
I don't know if they had precipitation going on like they did at the Rose Bowl or not.
That was amazing how much rain they had at that place.
Yeah, it was nasty coming in. Like game day, those guys were just getting rained on.
Yeah.
Saban's got his laptop out there. I'm like, bro, you might need to go ahead and bag that thing up. But, Miami, hey, heck of a win. Carson Beck made a couple of big-time plays with his legs. There was a 3rd-and-11 in the fourth quarter with that game still hanging in the balance, and he puts his shoulder down and makes damn sure he gets the first down on 3rd-and-11. That was big-time. Mark Fletcher in the run game, icing it out.
Mark Fletcher is a load.
He's a load, bro.
Yeah.
Sonny Styles never missed a tackle.
He
missed one or two on that big body of Mark Fletcher, and that's going to help him versus Ole Miss. We'll have plenty of time to break that down, but it'll be Miami and Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl, and Ole Miss's run defense has not proven to be awesome, so that's where Miami's going to have to make some hay there, pushing those guys around. But, yeah, the Miami defense, Keontae Scott at nickel corner, Mezidor and Bain as the edge rushers, they are serious, man. They are not screwing around. Saying in the first half,
yeah.
I mean, the first quarter, Ohio State's got 9 yards.
Yeah.
And the total for the game, they had like 45 rushing yards. He started to settle in. I mean, he's a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure that he was under. But
it's amazing to watch these blue blood teams, Ohio State and Bama, just struggle to run the ball as much as they do against programs that aren't supposed to be stocked with as much depth and size.
Yeah. And now that's the new world we live in, man. You can kind of snap your fingers if you're committed to it. And Cristobal's been super committed to making sure O-line, D-line, you're going to have some guys. But Miami's defense flies around, dude. It was so fun to – I mean, they were smacking dudes. Even when they were making plays down the field, Ohio State receivers, they took shots time and time again. You had Coach O on the Miami sideline, your guy.
I was a graduate assistant. In Miami.
Okay, I was wondering what his affiliation was.
Graduate assistant in Miami, and then I went on to be a coach. I couldn't stay around Miami very long. They didn't want me around there very long.
Yeah,
you know, a lot going on in Miami.
A lot of married men getting uncomfortable.
You see, I had my coaching gear on there. I was wearing a coaching gear on the sidelines.
I was
a shirt from 1983. Yeah, see that. I was coaching him up then.
Old school. Playmaker was out there.
How many guys now are former players are going to be in the sidelines for this next game? Or is it? Are they?
They
embrace this now. Miami embraces this.
Yeah,
they totally embrace this. But I wonder how many more guys are going to show up now for this next game. It only gets bigger.
Yeah, it should. And they had quite a few: Ray Lewis, Michael Irvin, Edgerrin James, Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
And so there might be
a whole damn team standing over there before.
Especially if they get to the Natty and it's played in Miami, it'll be a who's who of Hurricane alumni.
If they get that game to Miami, that will be a crazy environment.
Yes.
I mean, that would be a crazy environment for them.
It's incredible for college football, just what they bring energy-wise to the whole deal. It just makes it better.
Their fan base brings a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. They really do.
And I will say credit to the Buckeye fans.
I wonder
fans.
How that happens, by the way.
Yeah.
Man, you guys, your passion is through the roof.
Shout out to Miami.
No other school leads the league in, like, cutting up jerseys and wearing them in the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, they will invent some festive wear for these games.
No question about it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You had Bama and Indiana. Indiana's the real deal, man. I mean, my gosh. Cignetti, Mendoza, that first drive offensively looked a little wonky for them.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, here goes another one of those long layoffs. This team getting the bye week. They're just not clicking. And then it all fell into place for them. And Bama could do much of nothing. I mean, Ty Simpson's getting benched in the game.
He got hurt.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, he was taking some shots. Like Indiana's physical, man.
That Indiana defense will make your quarterback look bad.
Yes.
Like, if anybody wants to draft Dante Moore or Ty Simpson, you have to watch that game and tell me how you think he's not going to struggle at the NFL level.
Right.
Like, year one's going to be a significant, because that's as close as you're going to get right now. No disrespect to Ohio State, and I guess their defense was number one statistically. Indiana's is just oppressive, and it's playing better now than it has at any point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of interesting stuff. They're the simulated pressures, they're putting a bunch of guys on the line of scrimmage, dropping dudes out, and you get some free rushers going. Like, their defensive coordinator, shoot, he needs to be on the short list of names that if you're the Cowboys, you're trying to talk to here, because he's got those guys playing outstanding football and really confusing offensive line and quarterbacks. On the other side, Mendoza, fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you blitz him, like, whatever you want to try and dial up for him, he's ready for it, dude. After that first drive, it was a well-oiled machine. And Alabama, you had Herb Street on the call just totally dogging Alabama. Like, this looks like a team that's not, like, they have totally given up. Yeah. And Indiana will do that to you. They're physical. They're disciplined. Cignetti's just, his face is on the sideline. He's just so stoic. Yeah. It doesn't matter what's going on. He's just locked in. He's not getting excited. He's not getting ticked off. But Indiana is absolutely the best team right now. Texas Tech, Baron Morton, that was my concern. Like, is Baron Morton good enough to do anything?
Turnovers were bad.
Turnovers were really bad. And the Texas Tech defense was awesome. They really were. And they're forcing Oregon to settle for field goals and the pass rush and the D-line. Gosh, that David Bailey, he lived up to it.
Yep.
He totally lived up to it, man. That is a dude whose TFLs and sacks and pressures all over the place, embarrassing some of those tackles there for Oregon. Dante Moore got hit quite a bit in the game, but it was just the Tech offense could do nothing. Now, it looks like they're going to be in on Sorsby here, the Cincinnati quarterback who's jumped in the portal. This guy, Brendan Sorsby, he's got visits lined up to Tech and to LSU.
Yeah, evidently, like Zach was telling me that LSU, Tech is in the $3 million range, and it sounds like that maybe LSU might be in five. That's where we might be with this quarterback. $5 million for transfer portal.
Yeah, that's exactly what I saw. Like, the 247 reporter guy was saying that you're looking at.
Zach was telling me, he's like, hey, man, you're in on this kid from Cincinnati.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what it's coming down to. I mean, a lot of teams are interested in him. He's the number one player in the portal, number one quarterback in the portal. But he's going to fetch $5 million plus from whichever school he lands on. And it looks like it's coming down to Tech or LSU.
Well, it sounds like, and again, I think Zach's got incredible connections at Texas Tech.
He does.
He was saying that Tech is willing to go to the $5 million range, is what he was saying.
Yeah, so, I believe it. Yeah. Well, and especially after you watch that game, you're going, man, if we had Sorsby yesterday, we're probably not putting up a bagel on the scoreboard, that's for sure. Morton was just a big-time problem for them. Their offensive line wasn't great, but Morton was absolutely a problem. So, yeah, now the portal is open, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But Sorsby right now is the number one hot ticket. Looking forward to seeing where our UNT quarterback, Mestemaker, goes. UNT's got a couple of guys, the running back, and I think they have a defensive back as well that are going to be up in there. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But we'll start to get some deals coming in here probably pretty soon.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Terrific work as always. It's incredible, you know, to have more college football to go, three more before the glory hits. It's something. You know, I think this 12-game format's an absolute home run. We got the C-note coming up next. I'll tell you the most exciting thing I believe you have to look forward to in Sunday's Cowboys-Giants game coming up next year to the G-Bag Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In the Fan. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. It's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Krusty's Corner is coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. You'll hear from the former Cowboys scout as we get you tuned up on this Football Friday. Cowboys-Giants. Sunday at noon, right?
Yes, sir.
Pre-game 9 o'clock there with the Chief and Broadus.
Yeah, me and Chief.
Post-game with Woolchuck and Broadus about 6 o'clock. Most exciting thing for me with this game being meaningless is right now it's looking like Jaden Blue might be looking at a start with Javonte Williams and
down,
Malik Davis hurt.
Yeah, and Maffa could be involved as well.
So Blue and Maffa.
Yeah.
Here we go. Is there anything Blue and or Maffa could do to get you as excited as maybe we were in late July?
Oh, you know, it'd be nice to go out there and see them not make any mistakes as far as, you know, protect the football, catch the football, run tough. If they have to do some blitz pickup stuff. You know, if you're playing a lot of backs that might be in a situation that aren't too comfortable. I don't know how much I'm playing Dak Prescott if all of a sudden it's
okay.
No Williams, no this, no that. I have a feeling that, you know, they with Maffa got better this summer with some of the blitz pickup stuff. That stuff he wasn't very great at Clemson.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you watched him, and that's what you were kind of worried. But, man, you know, yeah, that's what you're kind of looking for to me. Run the ball tough, protect the football, finish runs. But if you're called on to be blitz protector or catch the football, don't be poor doing that. But
yeah.
I wonder with all the backs being down, like this, I wonder how much Dak is really going to play then if you're just potentially using these guys.
Great point. I wouldn't even start him if I'm not going to play him because of Dak's record as a starter against the Giants. Like, that's more important to me. That's an aesthetic I care more about than going 8-8-1 or 7-9-1.
Right.
I just hope with Jaden Blue there's enough electricity in there, and all he needs is an opportunity to change the coach's opinions of him. Like, I think you can be a bleep up under Shoddy, but you got to be good.
Well,
and
this,
Diggs wasn't good.
Well, this will be a big test because – if he gets the opportunity, he has had problems holding on to the football before.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I would check the weather conditions for New Jersey for the day. You know, I assume that it's going to be probably okay. But, this could be one of those games where all of a sudden, you know, you're handing him the football and you're relying on him to make some plays. And if he's not able to do that, then that's kind of maybe what you need to see about moving on maybe for next year.
T.J. Bass is out. Malik Davis out. DeMarvion Overshown with the concussion is out. Revel is out. Javonte's out. And then Butler, Maffa, and Peyton Turner are questionable on today's practice report. Shoddy was asked this morning on Sean and RJ what went wrong in December. His answer went viral on social. Said the biggest thing I look at with the teams that are advancing into the playoffs is that it's all about the ball and the turnover battle. Quite honestly, we did not do a good enough job with that in either phase, and it's certainly something we'll correct. I mean, yeah, corner, linebacker, edge, you're just not good enough.
He's talking about, you know, turnovers and this, that, and the other. They had no pass rush.
Yeah.
They had absolutely no pass rush.
You had horrible coverage.
You have a historic offense when it comes to scoring points and the way they're able to move the football. 1,000-yard rushers, 1,000-yard receivers, 4,000-yard passing quarterback, offensive line that didn't give up a bunch of sacks. I mean, they had some problems here and there, but you were historically a bad defense.
Yeah.
And with no pass rush. And you mentioned about the coverage aspect. I think they were hand in hand. I think that the fact that I think the fact that they could not play pass defense was a lot had to do with the fact they had no pass rush. And this is where Dawson, this and Chief and I were talking about this the other day. I know this is where I got fooled, and I bet you they got fooled themselves, that they thought that their edge rushers going up against their offensive tackles at training camp, when they saw them win and win and win every single day, false sense of security that they actually had a pass rush.
Yeah.
And they don't. He did not practice one day with Micah Parsons in the lineup. Not one day. So he knew what he was up against without Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm talking about Matt Eberflus. You know, Matt Eberflus is like, well, we didn't, you know, we did, one of our best pass rushers got traded, you know, da 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 da. Listen, man, you practiced all training camp without. We got fooled. We got fooled watching Fowler and Ezeraku and Sam Williams rush against Adeniji, Guyton. And Guyton had some moments where, you know, he was pretty good. But we saw these guys rushing against offensive tackles that, as we've gone through the season, have been problematic.
Yeah.
There's been some problems with the offensive tackles. And we got a false sense of security. I think the coaches did too. They didn't have pass rush the whole entire season.
I'm sure internally they're being more honest with themselves about the real reason. It's because your players just aren't good enough. You didn't get turnovers because your players aren't good enough.
Not good enough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We need different guys. How about Kenny, speaking of that, how about Kenny Clark's quote from Wednesday or Tuesday about the defense? He said, I just think we need a bunch of dogs, a bunch of guys who truly love and care about football and not just going on the football field and expecting to make plays, going home and doing the right things, all the small things all the time. We all know this. It's not like a big talent gap between this team and the next team. It's just all the little things. The teams that can do the little things are the most successful squads. You know,
numerous players on that defensive side.
Who sticks out to you for that description?
Of course, you could talk about Diggs and all the situation, what was going on there. We know about what, you know, Sam Williams kind of has a history of not always doing what he needs to do. You know, so yeah, I mean, there's a couple of different areas that you could probably go on that defense that those guys weren't always completely prepared and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all the miscommunication and all the, like, guys not being on the same page for a long time, like, how much of that is just like, dude, are you as an individual even trying right now? Like, are you buttoned up to a point where you know at least where you're supposed to be, even if you're not the best kind of player? It shouldn't be that difficult, especially in a scheme that is pretty black and white. Like, it's not like Eberflus has some type of Brian Flores scheme where there's moving parts all over the place.
Yeah.
Just, like, be the baseline of a professional.
Yeah, I think all your linebackers pretty much but are out of position or don't know how to do it properly. Maybe Donovan Wilson at strong safety. But I just don't know if it's fair to say, well, you don't love football enough. Maybe it's just not in your skill set.
What was the thing the Cowboys were trying to do last year in the draft? Will McClay came out and he was talking about, we want to get guys, draft guys that love football.
Yeah, football character.
They've had draft picks in the past, whether it was Mozzie Smith, whether it was Tristan Hill. They had guys that really didn't love football. And Will McClay and staff is now trying to kind of switch that up a little bit.
Okay. Bill Barnwell did his 2025 All-Pros. George Pickens made his first team. I'd say Barnwell's All-Pros are probably better than the official ones that had come out, because he probably, you know, concentrates more football brilliance into one man than just casting it for multiple votes. George Pickens' first team, though. Aubrey and Tyler Smith, second team. What's your approach on George Pickens right now? I'm going to say this. If you're not really going all in, I would rather have $30 to $40 million in cap space to spend on defensive players than have two number one wide receivers. We've seen Dak Prescott have top five offenses without having two number one wide receivers. I think there's part of it that's redundant. And I'm not saying I would tag and trade George Pickens. I only need one of them, and I like both of them a lot. But if you're going to say, well, we couldn't add this player and that player because we had to keep George Pickens, I don't want to hear that. I'd rather balance the roster.
How much do you trust them spending $30 or $40 million on the right players then?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You stopped me in my tracks. I don't know, but I think it's worth finding out.
I think we kind of understand what George Pickens is, but I do agree with you on this.
To me,
you cannot go into this offseason and just tag George Pickens and then all of a sudden you're going to say, okay, we're gonna bottom fish and just draft. You can't do that.
You're also getting more draft capital if you move on from one of these guys, are you not?
Yeah.
You move on from Pickens before the draft. Maybe you get a 1 and a 3, something crazy like that. That's not that crazy. First team all pro level talent here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing is you're gonna have to get somebody that's willing to take that on. Somebody's gonna give you the 1 and the 3 and somebody's gonna give him $35 million.
Yeah.
Those are the things. You found somebody in the Packers.
Yeah.
The Packers felt like they needed to do that. I wonder if there's anybody else that would consider giving you the 1 and the 3 and also having to pay the freight on George Pickens. But like I say, my hope is that they would take that $35 million And put it to good use.
Yeah, and I guess my first hope is that you keep Pickens and you still go get an end and a linebacker and
a
corner.
If you go into this draft where you bottom fished and just tag Pickens and that's it, get ready for us to talk about not being in the playoffs again.
Yeah.
Just get ready for it because you got to give yourself some flexibility in the draft. Because if you sit there and just tag Pickens and bottom fish, then you're going to have to draft two defensive players. And there's people out there say, well, I mean, you need a right tackle. What about the right tackle situation?
Yeah.
You know, there's certain positions that you can – what about a running back? There's positions that you can absolutely use, but if you don't give yourself flexibility, you have no choice. But to draft two defensive players.
I mean, if I'm in charge, I feel like we have a lot of needs, but we got two first-round picks. If I can trade one of the wide receivers for effectively another $35 million in cap space and two draft picks on top of this, I can build you a much better team than Pickens, Lamb, Dak, and then a bunch of holes all over the place.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that for sure. Like if you're an Eagles fan right now and this is your predicament, you're like, yeah, of course we're going to keep Pickens and we're going to go bring in a bunch of free agents and we're going to load up this roster.
Yeah.
But from a Cowboys standpoint, you have no faith in that.
George Pickens asked if he's prepared for free agency, said super prepared, but I definitely leave that type of stuff to my agent just because I let them talk about the deals and all that stuff, but definitely super prepared. So it doesn't seem like he's ready for a return engagement.
He's hearing the stories about how Jerry and Micah Parsons and how that all went down.
Yeah.
So he's trying to prepare himself to like, and Jerry's coming out and saying, yeah, I want to talk to George Pickens. And everybody else is going, damn, that's pretty ballsy of him to do that. So
I think I would want a phone call with Jerry while David Mulligetta is in the room with me. That's the most I would do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And that way I can have full transparency with my agent and have his advice going along. And if Jerry's willing to do that, maybe we can get something hammered out. Nick Harris reporting on the Cotton Bowl players who answered questions on what it would be like to play for the Cowboys. Reuben Bain saying it'd be a blessing. I've already made myself familiar with the grounds. It'd be an amazing opportunity. Incredible talent there on the defensive line. And they need to get one of these edges. I don't know if it's Texas Tech or Miami or one of these other spots, but I think with the first overall, a first round that they have right now, like taking the best edge on the board, assuming they don't get wiped out in the top 12, 15 picks, something like that, that's what I would love to see them do. Okay, we got Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, it's Friday, but I'm going to do something different. Instead of giving the referees, I'm going to have more questions from our guys about this Cowboy team. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you playing that. Thank you to Greystone as well for being a part of that the new year. We really do appreciate them as well. This Cowboy game and stuff. I know. Yeah, me and Chief have got the pregame, and then Zach and I have the post to get through. That's going to be a 9-6 day for us on Sunday. We will likely have a Love of the Star podcast in the morning going up. So I think me and Zach are doing that at 7:45 tomorrow morning. So if you want to fire your questions to Zach at Zach Wolchuk, that would help us because we like to do those mailbag questions and stuff like that. So that'll be the final one. And then we'll focus in on the draft stuff too. Looking forward to really getting into the draft stuff. I know Dawson's getting involved. And so
locking in, baby.
Locking in. That'd
be ready. Good. I'm going to throw in strong opinions.
Big board reports coming up and all that. So really, really, really excited about everything involved that way.
I love studying the players and then listening to you break it down. Because about half the stuff that you're talking about, I didn't even know I needed to be looking for. So yeah. I'm at the very beginning of this journey.
Well, no, I mean, listen, this is where it's at. I just feel like, though, I never, ever have a problem with folks that try and look at it. You know, whatever eyes, however you want to look at it, whatever, you know, if you want to look at Bane, the edge rusher from Miami, and you're thinking like, wow, this guy looks like he could do this and this and this, and you're seeing, well, he's not doing this. I mean, listen, there's a lot of guys and gals that sit in those draft rooms, and they have opinions on these guys, and they're not always right. You know, but as long as you take the opportunity to sit down and watch it and kind of have your own opinion, I think that's the best thing in the world. I'll fight people, but I'll fight you from the perspective that I respect you, that you're going to sit down and look at the work and all that. And I'm not going to sit there and think that one poor game against somebody in the playoffs is the whole body of work for somebody. So those Ohio State kids, man, hey, they've been great players all year long. Give the Miami players a lot of credit. We'll be looking at them, you know, and we've already kind of studied a few of them. And as Chief's talking about, they've got a lot of them. It could definitely help you.
I was surprised when I looked up Reuben Bain's expected 40 time that it says 4.7.
Yeah.
How often are those wrong? Are they? Will this get you in the ballpark if you Google what's this guy going to run in a 40?
Yeah, you know, there's some teams. There's some organizations that actually have the heights, weights, and speeds verified. Mm. You know, they do that. Like they have a verified time. If I have a question about. And this is an advantage I have just from knowing people in the league. If I have a question about what somebody runs, I'm like, hey, what is this guy? Because, you know, I was looking at some safeties, and I thought, man, this guy doesn't run very fast. You know, and so I called a buddy of mine and said, hey, what kind of time you got on this guy? And they give me, and I'm like, okay. But you could get it pretty – sometimes, like I say, there'll be – in the springtime, these pro scouts will go through and time these kids – so you have some verified, times and verified heights, weights, and speeds. So it can be pretty close. You know, the tape is the most important thing. If you feel like, wow, that, you know, maybe Bane is really, really quick for like 2-3 steps, but then you see him chasing it and he has trouble like closing it, then you're kind of like, well, maybe this guy doesn't have really good long speed or anything. You can see it with cornerbacks too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes these cornerbacks, you watch them and they don't particularly chase the ball all that well or a receiver gets back behind them and they have to go run. You could see that in how they play. So sometimes these times are pretty accurate to where, you know, where the an estimate of how the
is
player
is. 4.7 a red flag for you, or does he just have so much power and athleticism that think he'll work around
it? I'll tell you what, he is one of these guys that to me he's not like your. You think of, and this is the discussion that Vach Lombardi and I had this morning about, I think he's a really bendy player.
Yeah.
And Vach.
Surprising considering how stout he is.
That's what I'm saying. Vach, and I understand where Vach is coming from, because to me, when you start to think of bendy players, you think of long, tall, kind of rangy.
Beware. Yeah.
Yeah. You think of those guys. This guy's got like, he's big in the lower body. He's a shorter guy. So you could be sometimes bendy guys. I mean, sometimes shorter guys don't look like bendy guys, but just because of the way they're built.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But you know, and Vach is like, man, I see a bendy guy, but I don't see the bendy that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, I watched the SMU game, and you know, he's like, okay, I guess I'll go back. And So, you know, but you could see just because he's not a long-limbed guy, he's not going to look. But you watch him. I guarantee you, we sit down and watch the Miami game. There's plenty of times he's playing in what we call that wide nine, where he's outside. You know, he's a little bit, you know, there's the five technique, which is head up. There's the seven technique, which is the outside shoulder. And then there's the nine that's like a whole guy removed. He when he gets wide nine, he could get going up the field and dip and get underneath you and get, you know. And sometimes he's when blockers set and he kind of gets these blockers kind of reaching on him where he's able to kind of work underneath and do that. So, but he's, man, this is a good draft so far for some of these edge rushers. And Dallas is going to clearly need to look at these guys. I mean, they're going to clearly need to look at, you know, the Howells at Texas A&M, you know, Bank. I saw a mock draft the other day where after the Ohio State game that somebody had on a mock draft, they had Arvil Reese being at Dallas's pick at 14. I think he's one of the best players in college football.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny. It's Jeff Kavanaugh had this discussion because he really, really, really likes Bailey. And he's right. You could see the bend in Bailey. And he goes, man, I just don't always see it with Reese. I don't always see the bend. I don't always see the – and, you know, I'm like, man, I know you're doing the work. I go, what games you watching? You know, that kind of thing. You're trying to kind of figure out why. You know, you're watching games that maybe he didn't –
So you like Reese as a pass rusher?
I do like Reese as a pass rusher. I do like his length. I do like his first step quickness. I do like those things. But, you know, if you watch him play against Miami, I'm sure that we're going to see some of that tape, and Miami probably blocked him pretty well.
Hmm. You know? Yeah.
You know, our guys are with Mauinoa. Mauinoa, yeah. You know, yeah, Mauinoa, I mean, he's legit.
He's terrific, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's the type of guy that could be left tackle maybe, I mean, right? See, he's so much different than what the players are at Utah.
Mm-hmm.
The Utah guys are all like 308, 306. This guy's like 315, 318.
One of the strongest 318s you'll ever see.
Yeah. And you're just like, you're like, gosh, dang. I mean, imagine having that big son of a gun over there, you know, if you were the Cowboys playing next to Booker.
Mm-hmm. I would love that.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, but then you're going to have to take him early, and then now it limits
what you're
going to do with some of the other positions on defense. And that's why I think Dallas – if they really want to take a guy like that, they're going to have a really good free agency period before the draft to try and fill as many of those needs as you can before you have to say, okay, well, then we're just going to take defensive players. Give yourself flexibility where you can draft this guy, you know, and do that. So it'll be exciting for sure. Chief, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, do you regret letting Lawrence walk? And do you think the defense would be somewhat better even if you had traded Parsons, if you had kept Lawrence in the fold?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question it would be somewhat better. It wouldn't like it would transcend the defense and all of a sudden you're talking about a playoff caliber defense by any stretch. And I think part of the reason why you were moving on from Tank was because of the Micah dynamic. Yeah. And so you were thinking, okay, yeah, now Mike is kind of getting the keys to the defense from a leadership role perspective. They didn't really jive together, so okay, no problem. You move on, and then you move on from Micah as well. Like in hindsight, for sure, Tank Lawrence would have been because of what he can do for you in the run game as well. Now, I think he's benefiting quite a bit from being on a good defense. It's not like DeMarcus Lawrence is the one guy on a defense. He's surrounded by a lot of good players. Seattle's defense is legit, and so he fits right in. So, yes, he helps you for sure, but are you winning any more games? No. You're probably sitting right here in this exact same spot.
Let me ask you this question this way, though, Dawson. Would you rather have Lawrence or would you rather have Jordan Lewis?
Whew, wow, that's a great question.
Give me Jay Lou.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Jay Lou because you brought in Clowney. I was going to say, like,
yeah,
Tank would have been a little bit better than Clowney.
Sure. But I think the one they missed on, and I respect the heck out of Lawrence. I think Lewis would brought like so much more toughness to that secondary. You know, maybe gave him a little bit more stability when they were having some problems back there.
Yeah, you shouldn't let either of those guys go.
Yeah. Dawson, I'll ask you this question. With free agency prices, isn't it smart to sign linebackers and safeties and draft edges and corners?
100%, man. It's that positional value, and that's why drafting corners and edges are so much more amazing, because when they hit, you're looking at maybe a $40 or $45 million player on that rookie scale instead of a $12 to $15 million player. So, I mean, I guess middle linebacker or inside linebacker is getting close to 25 or so towards the top of the market these days. So, but still, it's about 80% more value when you hit on edge, and about 60% more value when you hit on corner. And you can throw a wide receiver in there as well. I think the Cowboys, you know, have gotten that right over the years. The problem is when you neglect linebacker and safety and free agency, you still got to step in there and figure out a way to have good players at those positions, or you're not going to survive into January.
How about you, Chief?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. And you got guys like Quay Walker, you got Devin Lloyd, like those are two linebackers. We'll see if they get tagged or whatever. But right now, as it stands, those guys are set to be free agents. Those are legit linebackers that completely are, you know, transforming your linebacker room. Either one of those guys would be your best linebacker, and those types of guys are available. You also have some safeties out there. I think the Rams got a couple of safeties that could be had. That would be a definite upgrade. Heck, N'Kobe Dean. I know he's been banged up with Philadelphia, so that's something to consider there with the injury history. But their defense is a heck of a lot better when he's been on the field for him. So that's another linebacker. So I think you're going to have some options there in free agency. And yes, there's no question it behooves you financially. Draft your premium positions and then bring in veteran plug-and-play dudes at the other cheaper positions for sure. Because that's where you get overextended in free agency.
Yeah.
Man, I threw a bunch of money at corner and edge, and boy, if those don't hit, you just flushed a buttload of money. Trey Hendrickson right now, big name, good player, a little bit older, injury history, he's going to command a lot of money. And if that doesn't work out for you, man, that's a huge swing and a miss.
That's a huge swing. All right, thank you guys, appreciate it.
There it is, Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. The finest coming up next, Chief.
Yeah, let's get you set for Week 18 with some stats of the day. We have some coaching rumors from around the league and the Troy Aikman news that we all wish was a local story next to the Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.